I discussed it with my future team and I asked them, so I've been offered this position. Would you like me to take it? Would you like me to be your boss? And I asked if they wanted me.
When I was a little girl playing in my father's office, I dreamed of learning how to code. But my dad wasn't a coder, he was a businessman, and I never got to learn how, and it's been something that I've been curious about my whole life. And now, like, this whole world is startup and tech crazy, and I just want to know how to code too. Hack Reactor makes coding professionally go from being a dream and something that you just desire to have to really being a legitimate programmer. You could get a job straight away after. Even if you've been curious and you want to improve your skills and you're working in the marketing department and you happen to have to learn how to do HTML and you want to take your steps that much further, you got to check out Hack Reactor. Hack Reactor is the trusted environment, academic level education to go to become the best programmer that you could possibly be. Not only will you get the education, but you'll get the support from them to make sure that you're not alone in the journey. HackReactor.com. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in Barcelona, Spain, sitting with Dominique. You guys are about to be wowed to hear about what it really takes to be a leader times infinity in this tech world. Hi, Dominique.
Hi.
Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your company.
So my name is Dominique Serry. I'm French, as you can hear from the accent, which doesn't want to go away. And I'm the CEO of Infojobs.net, which is the leading job board in Spain.
And is it only in Spain then?
It's in Spain and in Italy at the moment.
And what brought you from France to Spain? Or are you living in many countries at once?
So it's a bit by chance. I came here for a holiday 17 years ago, so quite a long while ago. And I totally fell in love with the city and more than the city, also with a man, which usually helps. And I found this amazing job as a consultant in a company that was specialized in new technologies and telecommunications. So we were setting up telco operators a bit all over the world, and it was incredibly exciting. And I never went back to France, and I'm still here.
That was it.
Yeah.
I love Barcelona. I think Barcelona is amazing. And when was it that you first discovered the tech world?
I studied business administration, so I had no intention at all to go in the tech industry, and it actually never crossed my mind. And I wanted to actually work in marketing for luxury goods and ideally cosmetics or creams or shampoo. So during my studies, I did some internships in both like more tech companies and in more luxury goods companies. And actually, I found out that I was more and more drawn towards the tech companies because everything seemed so bubbly and moving and possible, and there was so much passion. And it's something I always thought would be very boring. So I always saw it as a really boring industry. And I was really actually really surprised to see how so much energy was in there and so much dreaming and so much possibilities. It was changing all the time. So what started to be, I was offered to join this company and I thought I'll do it for a few months and then I'll go to more girly stuff. And then I never left I love it. I really like it.
I love that you use the word possible. Mm-hmm. It's such a great word with the world of technology and entrepreneurship and leadership. It's making something possible when it seems impossible, right? It's just, yeah, I mean, that's what technology is. And then so InfoJobs, is this your first time being a CEO?
No, it's the second time. So it's the second time, but it was a smaller company. So it's the first time I'm a CEO of such a big company. It's like 150 people. So it's a bigger responsibility.
And in the company where you were CEO before, was it a tech company?
It was also a tech company. I've always been in the tech world.
So what was it like at that point being a first time CEO? What did you have to learn that you had no idea you would need to learn fast?
Well, as I've always been in the tech world, this part I was always really comfortable with. I find that the technology world is very it's growing and moving, so it's very friendly. It's very friendly. You can be a bit whoever you want to. You don't. There is a lot of freedom, which is very nice. So this part has always been there, and I've always appreciated, and I absolutely love it. I find in the tech world you can be whoever you want to. I can dress how I want to. I can speak how I want to. And it's okay. So it's very tolerant. So I think this is one thing I appreciated, this tolerance and to reach out. And a lot of people who are very curious and just want to learn and share and exchange and go beyond a bit the little world where you live in. So it's very normal to talk to your competitors, which would not be the case in other industries. It's sometimes the roles are inversed. Your boss becomes you teach him and he teaches you. Or it's very open. And maybe the part I found most challenging was actually to the people part.
Right.
Because coming from the tech industry, technology is very simple. No, it never complains. It's always happy. It's very simple. And dealing with people is much more difficult. They're human. They have a lot of feelings and emotions. And it's actually the most important part. And it's people and the human part are there behind everything. So that was the most challenging thing, also for the responsibility, I would say.
And your first company, just to kind of have a framework, how many people were staffed in that company?
So we were 20, so it was quite a small company.
And now you're over 100.
And now we're 150 people, yes.
And so what's the main difference between running a company of 20 versus running a company of 150? Something on a simple terms, but a huge difference between the two worlds.
Funnily enough, I find it much easier to run a big company than a small company, because running a smaller company, I was directly in charge of managing activity. So there was a lot of doing involved. I'm a very slow person. I need a lot of time to think. I'm just slow in general in life. And
so funny.
and being the CEO of a big company is wonderful, because I have like wonderful managers around me, and they're really fast and they're really punchy and they have 1,000 ideas an hour, which I never have. So I just feel like really well surrounded, because they're very fast and I'm very slow. So we work wonderfully well together, and we're very happy, because I just slow them down a little bit and they speed me up. And so I feel, with my personality of being a bit dreamy and a bit slow, and I like to dream ahead, like to have a vision and think long term ahead. Yeah. And to take some time in a big company and having a good management team around me, I have this possibility. And it's, so I find life is actually much easier. I find it's actually very easy to be a CEO in a big company, and easier than in a small company.
What were you doing before you were CEO?
I was a management consultant.
The reason why
it was very different.
The reason why I ask is because there's a study that if a woman and a man go after the same job, the way that women naturally think, and obviously this doesn't apply to everybody, but it's just kind of like socio whatever, is if, let's say, they're both going after the job of a pilot. They both don't know anything about being a pilot. The guy will take the job and say he'll figure it out. The girl will only take the job after she figures it out. So what helped you remove that barrier in becoming a CEO with the company of 20, and then even jumping up to the company of 150 without having previous experience in either one?
It's a very good question. I never thought I would be a CEO. I thought being a CEO was for really smart, really strong, very ambitious people. And I'm not very strong. I'm not very ambitious. I'm not very tough. So I never pictured myself in one of these positions. And it's okay. I was always very comfortable with it. And it's I kind of slipped into it, because I love my job. I like to work. I really enjoy what I'm doing. I think I was quite good at it. I guess my managers and people trusted me. So I kind of, moving up, but without really fighting for it. So it's been very smooth.
I love it.
And I always had a very, I'm quite risk averse. I would not fight for the pilot job unless I'm, for example. But I would only accept it if I was 100% sure I would be doing a good job and be happy also personally at it, and that people around me would be happy working with me.
But that's the thing, right?
It's very different, no?
Right, but that you couldn't have been 100% sure because you hadn't done it before, and you did take the chance anyway, because now you've been a CEO twice, or you are a CEO now, and the CEO, being the CEO before. So
What was the slight difference?
I discussed it with my future team and I asked them, so I've been offered this position. Would you like me to take it? Would you like me to be your boss?
And, that's amazing. I've never heard someone do that before.
Well, it's for us in our company, it's quite normal where we talk a lot and I asked if they wanted me.
Yeah.
If they wanted me. So I asked them to interview me and to choose me. And I would only take it if they chose me because I needed them and I couldn't do it alone. So I felt actually quite comfortable and I feel very safe and very well surrounded.
This is amazing. Mm-hmm. I've never heard anything like this. You must dive into how did InfoJobs become this way? Like, I mean, for a stranger to come in and say, do you want me to a team? Like, who allowed you that conversation and how is it set up and what can we learn from how it's organized and apply it to other companies around the world?
Now, so InfoJobs is part of, belongs to actually a big media group, a big Norwegian media group, where I've been working for now nearly 7 years, mm-hmm. so quite a long while. So I knew the group very well, and my positions had always been quite international focused with a lot of traveling, and 3 years ago I had a baby, so I had
congratulations.
A lovely little boy, and so I wanted to spend more time with my baby and less time traveling.
Right.
Yeah, so a position came free at InfoJobs, which was a head of strategy, and I was offered to take that job. It was quite a small position at the beginning, and which was fantastic for me because I didn't have so much time to put into my professional life.
Right.
And wanted to also have a good life, you know, like family,
totally.
and but also being professionally active, and I loved it. It worked really well, and it worked well with the family and children and work, and it worked out really well. So naturally, I was asked by the former CEO to take more responsibility, and then when he was offered a new job within the group, he asked me to replace him.
I have to say, I find you extremely inspiring because one thing that I look for in my personal life is for inspirations of business leaders who have morals and are caring and lead with heart. And there are so many examples, unfortunately, in the world of, you know, greed or corruption and this and that of business leaders. And I'm just determined to find all the business leaders that I feel like I want to become one day. I want to grow up into. And so what would you say are some tips to be an effective leader with your kind of mentality? How do you continue to garner respect and not, I mean, for lack of a better word, not be an asshole?
Maybe not to be an asshole. It's really important to be happy because otherwise it's quite tempting to be an asshole. So the first thing, and also being a mom, it was really important for me to come home and to be happy and relaxed and be able to just close the door and separate both things and to be just relaxed at work in order to be relaxed at home and be relaxed at home in order to be relaxed at work because it was kind of going together. So my first advice was to be like to focus on being happy. That's really, really important because when we're happy, we're relaxed and the best comes out of us. So that's absolutely indispensable. Another thing that I have as a little like trick for myself is I have these four pillars that I share this with my colleagues and my teams. Is it's really important that to have four pillars of happiness. One is our shareholders need to be happy to continue investing in us and trusting us.
Right.
Our clients and users need to be happy, so our services grow and they trust us as well. Our teams need to be happy. My teams, I include, it's 360, so boss, colleagues, teams. For me, they all have exactly the same importance. And the fourth thing is that our families we and our family are happy. If there is balance, then it's if these four things work and these four pillars are happy, then usually we can go on for a very long time and be very successful at what we're doing.
This is just cool. Like, I just want to emphasize to you guys listening. She's a CEO of a company with over 150 employees that's profitable. There's a lot of responsibility, a lot of moving pieces, and you're coming at it from such a holistic viewpoint. I've never heard of such a thing. It's so lovely.
I really enjoy it. Most of my days at work there, I'm happy and good. And another thing is, it's maybe another advice I would give is, I see many people who do their work and think, but I'd like to do something else. Mm-hmm. And then you don't do it very well.
Yeah.
And you don't really invest with it in it. So that's another thing is, every day I go to work and think, let's imagine I would do this for the rest of my life. It needs to be great because I need to want to do this until I retire. And if I'm not, I can always leave, but just to make always the best, try to really invest in it and make it really great. And that every day is great.
I just love this. Let's talk a little bit more about info jobs, just so people could have a grasp on what kind of company you run.
So maybe it's the environment helps as well, because when I joined the company, it was a company that is quite famous in Spain for treating employees very well, treating clients and customers and users very well with a lot of respect. I think we won the best place to work for the last 10 years in a row. So it's something that is very, very important. Our clients, we have 70,000 Spanish companies working with us. And our clients are the human resources director. So it's people who have a very high influence on culture in companies and how to organize teams and how to run organizations. So we also feel that it's our responsibility to be like really clean inside and good ourselves, so we can also share it with our clients and show them where the world is going and how to make the company life a better place.
Right.
Because if we don't show the example to our clients, then who's going to show the example? And we're the best ones to connect them with each other and try to bring our little stone to this temple.
100%.
If I can give one advice one thing I noticed in my career is that you can be an amazing CEO and highly successful and being great at your job, and you don't need to be super the smartest or the most beautiful or have the best studies or a workaholic. So I've seen a lot of very normal people who were just normal and nice and who were amazing business leaders. I take a lot of influence from the sports world.
Oh, interesting.
From, like how a sports coach is training a professional. It's very different than how managers behave at work. And I think we can learn a lot from a sports coach.
Oh my God, that is really cool. I never thought about it that way.
So for example, if you think about feedback, if we want somebody to improve, what usually happens is there is like these review sessions once a year or every 6 months where we give feedback and we give some input and then we disappear for 6 months. But if you look at the sports world, a coach would never look somebody play tennis, go off for 6 months and then come back and say, oh, you need to change your grip, and then go off for 6 months. It would never happen. They would do like these micro coaching all the time, all the time, all the time in a nice way.
Right.
And this is how the sportsmen become really great. So I think we can learn some things in the business world as well from this.
I think that's I think that's excellent. Definitely. Obviously we're human, so not every day is perfect. How do you overcome challenges?
Maybe this not thinking so much on a day-to-day basis, but really thinking on a long term. Like if I think I'm going to be in this job for the next 20 years, which I don't know if I'll be, but I would be happy if I was. And then it puts a lot of things into perspective. Then when there is bad days or good days, they become in a 20-year perspective, they become very small problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because life is a roller coaster. There's ups and downs. If you live them 100%, then they can be very tiring. If you put them into perspective, then they're a little bit less tiring. So that's one thing I try to do. A second thing is just really trying, when there is a conflict, really leaning in, trying to really put all my energy to make it work and to solve it. And never pick sides, and never to blame the other, to look for whose responsibility, whose fault it is, why did we fail, that's wrong, really try to take the judging part out and to just give and to be as generous as possible.
I love this.
That's it's difficult because when people are angry and mistakes were made and they're failures, which is totally normal, if the person in front really knows that you're reaching out the hand and trying to pick them up when they're failing, mm-hmm. then they're not scared, then it's okay. It's okay. And then there will be, usually they're more successful than failures, but you need some failures to have some successes. And if people know that, no, I'm with you, whatever happens, then the problems become much smaller.
I'm curious, who's someone you really look up to that you consistently learn from, maybe a mentor figure or just someone you watch often to emulate?
A lot of people. Within the Schibsted Media Group, I met a lot of really, really amazing people and the amazing leaders. Maybe it comes a bit from the Scandinavian mentality of being incredibly generous, not much politics, just trying to for things to be fine. A lot of gender balance, for example, is mm-hmm. very important. A lot of respect, independently of the hierarchy. From all the group, I learned a lot at all the levels. I have a lot of respect for my previous boss, who was the former CEO of InfoJobs. I learned a lot from him. He was a fantastic CEO and wonderful business person, but he was putting all his energy into people. And that's why the results were so amazing, because it was just focusing on people and having happy clients and happy users and happy teams and just giving a lot, being very generous. Yeah, I think this is the best leaders I've seen are very, very generous people who don't care for their own success, but who want the others to succeed.
I mean, this has been an extraordinary conversation, and I would talk to you for hours because I'm personally blown away. It's a gift to see examples in the world that I dream of existing. It makes so much sense why I choose to take the risk and travel around meeting, you know, strangers in the world, these women in tech, to see that what I dream is possible, that a leader like you exists. I hope that as I continue to interview more and more women in tech, that I meet so many more people, so it could be reinforced that many more times that there is a pure, solid, human-centric way to do business. You know, I hope that for our world, because it sounds so cheesy, but it makes the world a better place. How can people connect with you? I'm sure so many more people would love to. Are you on Twitter?
So I'm on Twitter.
Yeah. What is your username?
Also on Dominique Seri.
Cool.
And on LinkedIn as well.
And can you spell it for everybody?
It's DominiqueCerri.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, please feel free to like tweet her and ask questions. Yeah, I'm kind of taken right now. I'm very moved by you.
Well, I'm doing absolutely very little compared to what you're doing. So I'm the one who's impressed, and that's why I'm here with you as well, because it's really amazing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I mean, so you guys know, she literally just got off a train from Madrid and like rushed over to meet with me here in Barcelona. And so it's just so serendipitous that it worked out. And,
now I have to go and pick up my son who is waiting for me in a playground later. So,
oh my gosh, so that's great. I will let you go, but thank you so much for spending your time with the Women in Tech podcast.
Thanks to you.
This has been incredible. If you guys want to connect with more awesome women in tech, go to womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. That takes you to the Women in Tech Facebook group, so you don't have to worry about not being able to find it because it's super simple. And you could always tweet at me at Women in Tech Show or at Esprit Devora on Twitter. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.